Good morning, everyone. Hope you have a wonderful day. We continue where we left off. We're in the Mishnah on the top of page 118a, second to the last page in Bava Kamma. We dedicate this class to our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land, especially those on the front line. May all the wounded have a full and speedy recovery and all the hostages return home safely to their families. Look, the Hilgim Mishnah, if someone steals from his friend, then he has to return it. Or he's a Beili, he's watching an item for someone who handed him in while he's in the city. He doesn't have the right to return it to the lender, to return it to the owner, the thief, to return the theft to the owner, or return the item that he's watching to the owner in the desert. If the person refuses, he said, what are you giving me in the desert? What am I going to do with it in the desert? Wait till I get home and then you'll return it to me. That's his right. But if he says, I'm a naslat, says b'midbar, if he says, on the condition that I will give it to you in the desert, then he has a right to return it to him in the desert. So firstly, that's the Mishnah. I'll ask you a question. Learn the Braisim. The Braisim makes a distinction between a loan and if you find a lost object or something was given to you to watch. Milva, a loan you can pay back any place. But if you found a lost item, you have to return it to the owner. Or if you're watching something with someone, you have to return it to the owner. You can only pay it back in its place. So it's not like the Mishnah here. The Mishnah says that even a loan, you can't pay back in the desert. This is what the Braisa means. The Braisa is not contradicting the Mishnah. The Braisa is saying, Milva nitn li tova b'chomok. The lender couldn't demand it any place. He has a right to demand it, even if he's in the desert. You're both in the desert. As long as the person has enough funds to make it back to the city. He can't rob him, but take everything he has, and he's stuck in the middle of a desert. But if there's enough funds to get back to the city, you can demand, pay me back the loan now. Because I did you a favor, I lent you, so you're like my servant, and you have to pay me back, even if it's in the desert, even if it's inconvenient for you. But Aveda, Pikadin, didn't have him came on, but a lost item and a Pikadin, you can't demand it. The guy says, I took it from you in the city, come back to the city, I'll give it to you. You can't. I'm not going to schlep it to you in the desert. You're on a desert safari, I'm not going to schlep it to you in the middle of the desert. But our mission is saying, not that the lender's demanding it. Our mission is saying that it's the lender's right, but not the borrower. The borrower has no right to pay back in the desert if the lender doesn't want. So I'm not interested. I don't want to walk around with it in the holding it in my money, in my pocket, in the middle of a desert. So that's his right. Okay, then the mission says, unless he said, on the condition that I'm going to the desert. We're going to appreciate that. If he makes a condition that I'm going to pay you in the desert, what's the Mishnah coming to teach me? Of course, that was the condition. I'm only watching it for you, and I'm only borrowing. I can pay you anywhere in the world, even in the middle of a desert. So of course, you can make any condition. What's the Mishnah coming to teach me? The Gemara says, Litzriche d'amalei. The owner said, Lavi b'katan, please watch this item for me. I'm going in the desert safari. And he said, the watcher, the Beili, the custodian said, you know, I also want to go to the desert. I'm also planning to make a desert. So that's what, even though he never said clearly that I'm only taking it on the condition that I can return it to you in the desert, but since he mentioned he's going to the desert, and he also mentions the desert, what he means to say is, if I want to give it to you there in the middle of the desert, I could return it to you. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. That's the innovation of the Mishnah. Okay. Next Mishnah, Zok Deilig Mishnah. Hey, Melech Aved, if someone says to his friend, Gezal Tich, I know for certain that I stole from you, I know for certain that I borrowed from you, I know for certain that I'm a custodian, I'm watching, I'm a Bailey, I'm watching something for you, but then you're there, but I'm not certain of, I'm not sure, I'm having all your Alzheimer's, did I return you the theft, did I return to you the borrowed money, did I return to you the item that I was watching, since he's certain that he owes money, and he's not certain if he pays back, he has to pay. But if Mamle any day, I don't know, I can't remember. Did I steal from you? Didn't I steal from you? Did I Imel Visani? Did you lend me? Didn't you lend me? Did I borrow from you or not? If you ask me to watch something for you, Pat Moshalmi never admits. He's saying maybe is not enough to obligate. That's the mission. But it says, we learn, the rabbis taught me, if someone says, I know for certain you owe me $100, the one who's The defendant claims any day. The claimant knows for certain. The defense says, I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe you don't. I don't remember. Rabbi Huda says, you have to pay because he is certain that you owe him. You're not certain that you don't owe him. You have to pay. Why? What's the argument? If you're certain and you're uncertain, so we follow the certainty, you have to pay. Since you're in doubt, you don't know if you have to pay, so let the money stay where it is, in the owner's pocket. We don't force him, we don't extract his money from him. It says not really now Mishnah. It says now Mishnah that if he says I don't know if I even owe you, I don't know if I stole, I don't know if I borrowed in the first place, I don't know if I ever watched anything for you. Potter, you exam hechdom. So that's what's the Mishnah talking about? In what case? Elam, if you're going to say like a table, if no one is demanding him, they should not meet like a table. So my chayes, and then the beginning of the Mishnah where he says I stole from you, but I don't know if I ever paid back. And the Mishnah says you have to pay. If no one is demanding of you, what do you have to pay? Am I chayav? Elak atravale. Surely we're talking about someone is demanding from him. And he admits, yes, I stole from you, but I don't know, maybe I paid. So then we say that you have to pay. So the end of the second case is also talking about the same apples to apples, the same scenario, that someone is demanding from him. And he says, I'm not sure, I'm not admitting, I don't even know, I don't remember. Did I steal from you? Did I borrow from you? Did I take it from you to watch? I don't even know. So it says, clearly, like Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Yochanan, that even though the demander is certain, and the other one says, maybe I do, maybe I don't, you don't have to pay. The mother says, no, look at that. Really, he's talking about Rabbi Yehuda will tell you the Mishnah is talking about there's no one demanding from him. If someone demanded from him and he's certain that you owe and you're not sure, you would have to pay. Even though you're not even admitting that you ever stole it. Maybe you're not even sure you owe anything, you ever owed anything. But since the demander is certain, you would have to pay. Here, the Mishnah says you don't have to pay. He doesn't have to pay if he's not certain because there's no one demanding. So, for the whole Mishnah is talking about there's no one demanding. So then why in the first case, if he says, I certainly stole, I certainly borrowed, I certainly took it from you, but I'm not sure if I returned it, why does he have to pay? Really, if there's no one demanding from you, really, halachically, you wouldn't have to pay. But if for Hashem's sake, to fulfill your obligation, your moral obligation, there's a moral obligation that since you may owe money, you yourself admit that you stole, you yourself admit that you borrowed, and you're not certain that you paid. So to fulfill your moral obligation to Hashem, you have to pay. Every instance between man and man is a double. It's a double-edged sword. It's between man and man, it's also between man and God. So to fulfill your duty for Hashem, you have to pay. You would have to pay. It, now we also learn, he spells it out clearly. That if someone says, comes on his own, no one is demanding anything from him. He comes to the person, he says, I stole money from you. The guy didn't even know that he stole money, or anyone stole, or he stole. And while layman at any day, and the person says, I don't know anything about it. I didn't know you owe me money. You say, you claim so. I'm not demanding because I don't know anything about it. You say you owe me money, okay. So really, if no one is demanding it, you really don't have to pay. In a court of law, there's no demanding. If there's no claimant, if there's no claim, there's no victim, there's no crime, you can't demand any money. Not like this corruption here where there's no crime and they take a president and accuse him. There's no crime and there's no claimant and there's no victim and there's no problem and everyone got paid and nothing ever happened. And nevertheless, he has to pay money. If there's no victim and there's no crime and there's no claimant and there's no claim, it's ridiculous. It's nonsense. How could you demand someone to pay? But if he wants to fulfill his, for Hashem, his moral obligation, then he can pay. But in a case where he's not even certain that he stole, so I don't even know, I don't remember, did I steal, did I borrow, did I... Then even for Hashem's sake, there's no moral obligation to pay whatsoever. Now, even according to the Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yochanan, who says that you're exempt, even if the person who demands, the claimant, is certain, and you're not certain, you're not even certain if you owe. So even, but you would have to swear. What are you swearing? That you don't remember, that you don't know. Because if you would have denied it, you would also have to swear. Let's say you denied it, flat out denied it. It says, no, I don't know you. You would have to swear, to corroborate. Shavuos Heses, a rabbinic oath. So here you have to swear, also we're exempting you based on your arguments. You have to swear that you're telling the truth, that you don't remember. And based on that, you don't have to pay. Okay, next Mishnah. Anyway, the law follows Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Yechanan, that even if you're certain that you owe money, but the person, the defendant says, I don't even know if I owe you. I don't even know if I ever stole from you. I don't even know if I ever borrowed from you. I don't know if I ever accepted to be a custodian. So since he's denying, he doesn't even know, he's not certain, he's not accepting the whole premise. Therefore, he's exempt, even though you're in doubt and the claimant is speaking with certainty, with fiery certainty, it doesn't matter. But in a case where you admit that you owe money, yes, I stole money. Yes, I borrowed. Yes, I agree. I admit that I'm a custodian. I accept it. But I don't know if I returned it to you. And the other one says with certainty you did not return it. So since you admit with the underlying premise that you owe money and you're not certain whether you paid it back or not, and the other person is certain that you did not, then you are obligated to pay. And there's no oath involved. The demandant doesn't have to pay anything. You have to pay. You admit that you owe, you're not certain if you paid, I'm certain that you didn't, then you have to pay. Okay, next mission. So daily commission, not lemonade that if someone steals a sheep from the group of sheep, and he returned it. Umeis, and then after he returned the sheep to the flock, the sheep died. Were stolen, the thief is still responsible because the moment he stole, he owns it, he becomes responsible for anything that happens, and returning it without the owner's knowledge, just like he stole it stealthily, he also returned it stealthily without the owner's knowledge. So that's not called returning it. So it's still under his responsibility in anything that happens, even if it dies or was stolen, he has to pay the owner for that tree. What if the owner doesn't know that it was stolen? He doesn't know it was ever stolen, and he doesn't know that it was ever returned. And then at the end of the day, he counts the flock. He's not missing anything. He didn't know what went on during the day. He stole it, he returned it. He's oblivious to the whole thing. Then Potter, because once he counts it, and he has his flock is whole, so the owner knows what he has, and it's his flock, and he's responsible. So if anything happens after that, it's lost. If it dies, the animal dies, or it's stolen, it's on the owner, it's not on the thief. That's the mission. Now the Gemara is going to record a four-way argument. So the Mishnah says if you steal a sheep, from the flock. So the Avdi Gemara doesn't record a four-way argument. Amar Rav, Rav says, L'das, if the owner knows that the sheep was stolen, sort of das, you must notify him that you returned it. The thief has to notify him that you returned it. It's not enough that you just return it and then the owner counts it. No, you have to notify him that it was stolen from him, that the stolen sheep was returned. If you never knew it was stolen in the first place, then minion and peter, you can't just return it stealthily. No. And even if you don't let the owner know, but as long as he counts it at the end of the day and his flock is whole, he knows he's not missing a single sheep, then the thief is over. Then the thief has returned it, and whatever happens now is on the owner. Tani, when it says in the Mishnah, the simple reading of the Mishnah is that it's going in the second case, a sefer, the second case. In the first case, it doesn't matter if he counts, it doesn't help. The thief is responsible for that sheep, even if he returns it, and even if the owner counts it, as long as he didn't notify the owner that he returned it. Then in the second case, if he never knew that it was stolen in the first place, and he returned it, and he never notified it and returned it. But as long as it was counted, it's okay. That's how Rav learns the mission. Shmuel argues with Rav. He says, "Ben le nasmin shle nasmin yim peter." He says, "No, counting helps, even if the owner knows that it's stolen, because at the end of the day, he counts and he sees that his flock is whole, so he understands that the thief returned it." When he says the end of the mission, and if he counts it and the flock is whole, is not missing a single sheep, then the thief is no longer responsible for that sheep. But the Rakul is going on the whole mission on both cases, whether the owner knows that it was stolen or the owner doesn't know that it was stolen. That's Shmuel's opinion. Rabbi Yechanan argues and he says, "Ladas minyan peit." If the owner knows that it was stolen, then counting helps. At the end of the day, he counts, the flock is whole, it's not missing a single sheep. The owner understands that it was returned, the thief returned it. Otherwise, why isn't his flock missing? Shalayludas, if the owner doesn't know, if he never knew it was stolen, I feel a minyan amido, you don't even have to count. What do you have to count? He doesn't know it was stolen, he doesn't know it was returned, doesn't know there's a problem, everything is good. Even if he doesn't count, the moment he returns it, if the owner never knew that it was lost, it was stolen from him, and it was returned to him, he didn't know of the whole drama, he's oblivious to the whole thing, then even if he doesn't count it at the end of the day, the moment the thief returns it, he's no longer responsible for that sheep. When it says he counted the sheep, he shlem, and it's whole, and the flock is not missing, only then is the thief exempt. Adesha, he's going on the first part of the mission. The second case where the owner doesn't know, then it doesn't matter. You do count, you don't count. The owner never knew it was stolen, never knew it was returned, completely oblivious to the whole thing. It's all happened in the middle of the night. He was totally oblivious. So fine, then the thief is restored him back, and he's back to himself, and everything is okay. The thief is no longer responsible. But in a case where he does know it was stolen, so there, it's not enough just to return it stealthily there. And even if he doesn't notify him, but as long as at the end of the day when he counts and he sees, the owner sees that his flock is whole, it's not missing a single sheep, he understands that the thief returned. A fourth opinion of his Amar, no. Ladas minyan peit. When does counting help if the owner counts and his flock is not missing anything? It's only in the case where the owner knows that it was stolen. So then he realizes that he counts his flock and it's all whole. He understands that the thief returned the sheep, and from that point on, the thief is no longer responsible for what happens to that sheep. But if the owner doesn't even know that it was stolen, then just returning it surely doesn't help. Even counting doesn't help. Even if the owner counts, it doesn't help. The only thing that helps is tzarech das. He has to notify him, "I stole the sheep and I returned it." When it says in the mission of Monos that counting does help, it's only Adesha, it's going on the first case. In the first case where the owner knows that it was stolen. So if the owner knows it was stolen, you can either notify the owner that you returned it, or even if you don't notify it, when he counts his flock and he realizes it's whole, he realizes that the thief returned it, and that's okay. But if the owner never even knew in the first place that anything was stolen from him, it doesn't help just returning it stealthily. It doesn't even help that he counts it and it's whole, it's not missing anything. You must notify him. Adesh Amarava, my time is very strange. Why would that be? He doesn't even know it was stolen. He never knew there's a problem. And he returned it. And he's counting. Why shouldn't that be enough? My time of Chizdas, he explains, because ho you ankita nagri briyaz. Because since he learned Vankita, the sheep learned the nagri to walk briyaza, to walk outside. So he's not like a regular sheep. He was spoiled, he was taken out of the flock, he wandered, he was pulled away, so the owner is completely oblivious to his detriment. He doesn't realize that he has to keep a special eye on the sheep. Once you start going a certain way, it becomes a habit, then the sheep could just wander off because he was there already. The other sheep would never even entertain to leave the flock. But he was already schlepped away from the flock, so maybe he'll do it again, and the owner is going to lose out. If the owner doesn't know that it was stolen, he's oblivious to the fact that it was stolen. What does it help that you return it? What does it help that he counts at the end of the day and the flock is whole? There's another problem here. He has to keep an eye, a special eye, on the stolen sheep. Or at least one of the sheep in his flock was stolen. He's to keep a special eye that no one should go wandering. So unless you let him know, it's not called returning it. The Rav say the law follows Rav Chisda. Rav says, Haiman the Chazil Chavre. The Agnev Imrim, if someone sees that he saw that he saw his friend lift up a sheep from his flock. Rama Bikali started yelling at him. What are you doing? He caught him red-handed. Vishadian, the thief, threw down the sheep. The owner doesn't know. Did he return it? Didn't he return it? He doesn't know. Did he return it or not? And then the sheep died. It was stolen. The thief is responsible. So my love, surely we're talking about a case. I have the money, even though he counted it and the flock was whole. So he realizes it's not stolen. And nevertheless, that the Rav holds that if you steal, so not like Rav Chisda said that if the owner knows that it was stolen, it's enough to count, because then he knows that he's whole. Here, the owner knows that it was stolen. He watched the whole thing, and he was yelling at him, and he counts. It's not enough. The thief has to notify him that he returned it. So Rav does not agree with Rav Chisda. The Gemara says, no, loy money. He's talking about a case. That case, that incident. He's talking about where the owner didn't count the sheep. So he doesn't know if it's whole or not. So he knows it was stolen. He doesn't know, he never counted. He doesn't know if it was whole. So in that case, unless he lets him know, notifies him that I returned the stolen sheep, then the thief is responsible for anything that happens. Now the Gemara asks, Amir Marav Achi, did the Rav say that if the owner doesn't know that it was stolen, either have to notify him that you returned it, or you have to count. But Rav says, if a person steals a sheep, and he returns it back to the flock that's grazing in the desert, and the owner doesn't know that it was stolen, doesn't know that it was returned, Yatza, the thief, fulfills his obligation, and from that point on, he's no longer responsible. So not like you say. Here, Rav said that if the owner doesn't know, either you notify the owner or he has to count. You can't just return it stealthily. It's not enough. And here he says it is enough. Here we're talking about a case where the owner can know even without counting. Without knowing by counting that he's not missing a single sheep, he could also know that this sheep is there. How? If it's polka dotted, if it's filled with dots, if the sheep stands out. So when the thief returns this polka dotted sheep full of dots and returns it to the flock, the owner knows that there's a sheep, this sheep is there. So therefore, the owner knows and there's no problem. Now the Gemara says, let's say this argument of Amirayim is an argument of Tanoyim. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva. We learn in the Braise, going to Flamina Eid. The Selimina Kis, if a person steals a sheep from the flock, and the Selimina Kis, or a dollar from the wallet, the Makim Shagana Biyaps, he should return it from where he stole it from. You stole it from the flock, return the sheep back to the flock. You stole the dollar from the wallet, return the dollar back to the wallet. And then you fulfill your obligation, and then you're no longer responsible. The Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva says, it's not enough. You have to notify, you have to let the owner know, I stole the dollar and I returned it. I stole the sheep and I returned it. And if he doesn't notify the owner and then it's lost or stolen, it's all on the thief. The thief is still responsible. So the academy and the yeshiva, they thought, the Kuli Alma, both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva agree, it's the Rabbi Yitzchak, hold like Rabbi Yitzchak. The Rabbi Yitzchak says, on the Muslim Mashmish, Bekisib, Bekosha, surely the owner knows that he's stolen, because the person is constantly checking his pockets, constantly checking. So therefore, he surely understood and found out that something was stolen from his pocket. So the owner knows, he knows that something was stolen. And if he returns, therefore, if he returns, if the thief returns the dollar to his wallet, next time he checks, he'll see that the dollar is back. So what are they arguing about? My love, the seller l'das. That if a dollar was stolen, and the owner knows that it was stolen, and also the sheep, because it's a similar case, that the owner knows that the sheep was stolen. And Rabbi Akiva arguing the argument of Rabbi Shmuel holds that he can return it to the same place. You don't need to notify the owner that you returned it, because he'll check his pockets, like when he counts. Rabbi says if he counts, he knows that he's whole and that's good. The thief is no longer responsible. So Rabbi Shmuel holds like Shmuel, that counting helps in any case. You don't have to notify the owners. What's the difference? Counting, he checks his pocket, he knows he's whole, he realizes that the thief returned it to him. But Rabbi Akiva, who says it's not enough to count, you have to notify him, holds like a Rav, that in a case where the owner knows that it was stolen, it's not enough that he counts and he knows that it's whole, you have to notify him. And unless you notify him, the thief is still responsible. The question is, yes, that would make sense in the case of a money that's stolen from a wallet. The person is constantly checking his wallet. He knows it was stolen, and he knows that his wallet is whole, his money is back. But in the case of a sheep, Rabbi Shmuel says you can just return it, put it back in the flock, return it to the flock, and you're good to go. It doesn't say that the owner counts. The owner doesn't count his sheep every day, every minute. Anyway, the mother says, no. I'm not arguing in a case where the owner knows, but lesh leledas. They're arguing in a case like a sheep. The owner doesn't know. And also in a case where the owner doesn't know that it was stolen. Maybe it wasn't in his pocket. Maybe the wallet was outside. But plukta Rav Chisda Rabbi Yechanan. And they're arguing in the argument of Rav Chisda Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yishmael holds that he can return it. You don't even have to notify the owner. He holds like Rabbi Yechanan, that if the owner doesn't know in the first place, he doesn't know there's a problem, then you can just return it without his knowledge either. He's completely ignorant, oblivious of the whole situation. It's okay. As long as the thief returns it, the owner doesn't know anything. And everything he's back to himself, everything is back in its right place, then the thief is exempt. That's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Rabbi Akiva says no. That since even if the owner doesn't know that it was stolen, either you let the owner know or you count. So you have to let him know. And holds like Rabbi Chisda. Rabbi Chisda says, on the contrary, when the owner doesn't know, you must let him know. It's not an option. Counting is not an option because the owner has to know that he has a problem on his hand. That he has the sheep who's just going to wander. He has to keep an extra eye on the sheep. Rabbi Zvid gives a different explanation of the argument. In Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Zvid made it up. He said the name of Rabbi. In a case where a regular thief, everyone holds like Rabbi Chisda. Both Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Chisda. If the owner doesn't know, you must let him know. It's not enough just to return it because he has to keep a special eye on the sheep. Here we're talking about a case. We're going to Mishus Baidlim Kulam Lepli Kitav Chizit. Well, over here we're talking about a case. B'Shemesh Aganav Mishus. Talking about a Beili, a custodian, who decided to steal it for himself, and he removed it from his property and stole it and placed it somewhere else. And then he wants to return. He regrets that he stole it. He wants to return it back. Actually, Yasel Makim Shaganav Kamif, and he returns it back from where he stole it from. He returns the sheep back to the flock that he's watching for the owner. So Rabbi Akiva says, Kol Shalish Minas. Once he steals it, he's no longer trusted. Even if the owner doesn't know, but if the owner finds out, I'm not going to trust you again. So you're no longer my custodian. You're no longer my Beili. And therefore, since now it's on the owner. So the owner doesn't know that it was stolen. You have to keep a special eye on the sheep. So that's why anything that happens, the Beili, the custodian, is responsible. Anything that happens to the sheep. That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. unless he notifies the owner, the thief is still responsible, in this case the custodian. If he returns it back the way it was, he remains a bailee, remains a custodian, and therefore he can keep an eye. So he doesn't have to let the owner know. He's watching, so he'll keep an eye on the sheep, keep the extra on the sheep. The Gemara says, Lema, but let's say this argument with the Namiroyim. Minyim Pait Tanoi, where the counting is enough, is an argument of Tanoi. Tanoi will learn the Braise. Someone steals. And he was embarrassed to return the theft, to admit. Afterwards, the thief bought something, purchased something legitimately from the one he stole from. And he adds money. He adds money. He bought something for $100. He stole $100 before. He gives him $200. The other one doesn't know why is he giving him an extra $200. But he knows he's giving him. He wants to pay for what he stole. Tanya, the one Braise says, he fulfills his obligation of returning the theft. Tanya, another Braise says, he does not return his obligation. The owner thinks he's giving him a gift. Unless he spells out that I'm returning to the theft, he did not fulfill his obligation. Sabru and the Karmin issue, but they thought Kulal Mizlu, everyone holds the Rabbi Yitzchak, everyone holds the Rabbi Yitzchak, the person knows, is constantly checking his pockets, and he knows if something is stolen. My labox, and what are they arguing? These two braises, surely they're arguing, man, the one that says Yotza, that he fulfills his obligation, somebody holds, minyan poiter, that counting is enough. As long as he checks, because he checks his pocket, he also checks his pocket when the money came back. So he lost $100, now suddenly he's back $100. So then he knows that whatever was stolen is back, and that's enough. Mandam, the one that says, La Yotza, the braise says he doesn't feel like it, so minyan any poiter, it's not enough. Since the owner knows it was stolen, it's not enough to count, but you have to let the owner know that it was stolen. And they said, Amri, they said in the yeshiva, no, really, I can tell you, if we held a Rabbi Yitzchak, there would be no argument in things of braise. It's kulam alei pligi. Counting is enough. If he's constantly checking his pockets, just like he knows that it was stolen, he also knows that it was returned, and then the thief is no longer responsible. He fulfilled his obligation to restore and return the theft. The minyan poit el of Rabbi Yitzchak. But the argument here is whether Rabbi Yitzchak, they accept the whole premise of Rabbi Yitzchak. Mar, one tana easily holds Rabbi Yitzchak, and therefore the thief fulfills his obligation of returning the stolen item. Mar, lastly, Rabbi Yitzchak. And the other tana doesn't hold Rabbi Yitzchak. He says a person doesn't constantly check his pockets. If you want, I'll give you another explanation to reconcile these two braises that they're not arguing. The kula halma, everyone holds. Isla the Rabbi Yitzchak, everyone holds a Rabbi Yitzchak. The person is constantly checking his pockets. Like kasha, it's not a contradiction. The money ramali bekisim. Here is a case where the thief counted the money and placed it in right directly in the pocket of the one he stole from. So therefore, since a person is constantly checking his pockets, he'll realize that the theft was returned to him. Oh, the other braise says he doesn't fulfill his obligation. The money, he gave it to his hands. He placed it in his hands. So maybe he took the money and put it in a box, in a chest, in a safe. So he never counts it. So he doesn't know. He's never counting. How will he know that the money was returned? If he puts it in his pocket, a person's constantly checking his pocket, so he'll realize that the money was returned to him. That he gave him more money, or he bought something for $100, he gives him $200, and the extra $100 was the $100 that he stole. So realize he's good, he's whole, everything, whatever was stolen from him is returned to him. But the other one, he places in his hand, maybe the owner will just put it in the safe, he'll never count it, so he'll never know that it was returned. That's what the Braise says. He doesn't fulfill his obligation of returning the theft, he has to either notify him, if you want, I'll tell you. Both braises, the money, he puts it in his pocket. But one braise that says he doesn't fulfill his obligation, the islays, he has other monies in his pocket. He doesn't know how much. So he didn't count yet. He has other money. So when you put money in his pocket, now it'll count. He doesn't know if that's the money that he had before or that's the money that you put in his pocket. Oh, the braise says, his pockets are empty, there's nothing here. So when you put the extra money in the pocket and he'll count and he'll check, he'll realize that the stolen money was returned. Okay, next Mishnah. In Luchman, you're not allowed to buy purchase something from shepherds who are grazing other people's flock, because you can assume that if they're selling something, they're stealing. It's not theirs. Leitzemer, not wool, lechalav, not milk, legdoyim, not the sheep, the small goats, because surely they stole from the owners. Veloyim, Hashem, they pay this. And not from those who are guards or watching the fruits. Atzim, etzim, peiris, wood or fruits, because maybe they stole it from the owner. They don't own anything. They're just a worker. So how do you suddenly you're selling all these items? You probably stole it. Avloik, I mean, noshim, but you're allowed to buy from women. Kleitzemer, be Yehuda. You're allowed to buy woolen garments in Yehuda. Kleipishtim, be Galil, and flax garments in Galil, because the women, that's what they do. They sew and they weave and they make garments. And so we're not worried that maybe they're selling without permission of their husband. And also, you're allowed to buy agolim. You're allowed to buy calves from the shepherds, basharin, in Sharin. That's in the Gola or Sharin, where they graze. And that's the way over there. They buy calves and they graze and they raise them and they sell them. So there's no reason to assume that they stole it. Vekulan and all of these cases where we allow them only shamru lahat vekulan shamru lahat. If they say hide it, they're selling it surreptitiously, usher. Because then it sounds like fishy. It sounds like why you're hiding it if you do it, if you're above board. Why are you telling me selling me? No one should see. You're always allowed to buy eggs and chickens anywhere. You don't have to worry, maybe they're stolen. Because for such a small amount of profit, no one's going to bother to steal and to get, you know, for such a small amount. So surely it's legit. The rabbis and the rabbis learn, you're not allowed to buy from the shepherds, not goats, not small sheep or small and not wool that's shorn from the sheep, late lushan shol semer, and not the pieces of wool that you pull off from the sheep. Avlikha, maybe you're allowed to buy tefudin. You're allowed to buy sewn garments of wool. Neshen shalehen. Because even if they stole the wool, but once the owner gave up hope and they changed it, they turned it into fabric and into a garment, now it belongs to them. So therefore, they have a right to sell it. Like, you're allowed to buy from them milk and cheese in the desert. Because since it's difficult for the owner to go and collect the cheese and the milk from the desert and schlep it to the town, he leaves it to them. It's yours. Keep it, so they have a right to sell it. For labor, you should, but not if they're in the settlement, because they have to bring it to the owner. Why are you selling the owner's milk and the owner's cheese? Like, I mean, you're allowed to sell, buy from them four or five sheep, or four or five. Shorn wool, because you can't steal so much and the owner won't know about it. It's a lot, four or five. Have a loish states, but not two sheep loish they gizin, or two things of wool. You know, it says is those sheep who go home every night. They graze during the day, but they go home to the owner's house at night. Look, I mean, you're allowed to buy. Because the owner knows, he counts every day. When they come home, he counts. So he'll know that it's not stolen. They can't steal it because he's going to count. I mean, buddy is, but those who stay out at night, they graze during the day and they stay out at night. They look, I mean, you're allowed to buy from them. Because the owner can never know. So it's easy for him to steal. This is the rule. Anything with this, if the shepherd will sell and the owner will find out, like him, because he wouldn't dare sell it and steal, because the owner will know right away. But in if the owner will not know in like him, then you're not allowed to buy it from them. He quotes the Brais that we just learned. Why is it 4 or 5? If you say you're allowed to sell 4, how much more so 5? What it means to say is that if the whole flock is 5, he's allowed to sell 4 out of the 5. Surely you can't, such a small flock, you can't sell most of the flock without the owner realizing it. He doesn't mean 4 or 5. It means from a small flock, I can sell 4. If it's a small flock, it's only if he sells the overwhelming majority of it, you know, if he sells 80% of it, 4 out of the 5. Another version of Ikdamra the same. Rav Chizah says, Arba made a cut. Chamish made a cut. If it's a small flock, then four. If it's a big flock, then five. This itself is a contradiction. Amrit, first you say, Arba Chamish Sein, Arba Chamish Gizin. Arba Chamish Sein, Shalosh Loi, three not. Aim a safer, then you say at the end, Ava Loi Shteitzin. But not two. That means two I can't. But three I could. Shalosh Avenin. So which one is it? Here you say four or five. Then you say two, yeah, two not. Four or five, yes. What about three? It's not a contradiction. Those who are healthy, those who are healthy, so the owner will know, even if three are missing, so therefore I'm allowed to sell three, only two I'm not allowed. The first part we're talking about, those who are b'chishasha, they're not so healthy. So three, if you sell, the owner will know. But four, even if they're not healthy, the owner can tell. Okay, we'll stop over here. To be continued, everyone have a wonderful day.